Welcome to this Together Stronger Conference podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. This message is by Paul Abel.
And it's really to do something new in the area, to develop a regional work, to develop an apostolic church. And you sort of look at, well, how do you do those kind of things? Well, a small part of that actually is the way we do church news. You might think, well, how can the notices affect what you are as a church? But hopefully with church news comes across that message of moving forward. Yes. We have a purpose, we have a destiny, not it's time for the jumble sale.
Amen.
So that's one reason. But often then you think, well, you know, we couldn't possibly do that kind of thing because, you know, video is beyond us. So I wanted to show you, this is the camera. That's it. It's not, you're all going woo, but it's a £200 camera. It's not a particularly expensive camera. And the laptop that Naomi is sitting in front of that's running the screen at the moment is the laptop it all gets edited on, or sometimes a bit of Dan's as well. So that's just to encourage you that it is possible wherever you are, whatever your circumstances. The software that does the editing was about £50. So, you know, it's not even expensive in money terms. But to combine two things at once, what we're also going to do is we want to take up an offering for the day, because we want to send Pastor Colin back with a gift to honour what he's been doing amongst us. So to cut down on time, we're actually going to do a very unusual thing, because you're going to have the notices and the offering all at the same time. So if you want to get ready for that, if you would like, where's Peter gone? There's Peter. Peter's going to pass it around. There are envelopes if you want to use the, oh, the name's gone clean out of my head, gift aid facility that's there. If you want to write a cheque, just make it payable to Kingdom Faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. While you're getting your chequebooks out, one of the new initiatives that we've been doing at Kingdom Faith recently, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire that is the whole street angels thing. Have any of you heard of street angels or street pastors? Amazing thing happened in that Brian here is now the Street Angels coordinator, and I'm putting a story a little bit shorter, but Brian moved down from Perth to Scarborough, and 2 days later he found himself in a meeting with me and the North Yorkshire Police and Scarborough Borough Council, and they said to him, Brian, will you run this initiative in our town? He'd only been living in it 2 days. By faith he said yes. Hallelujah. And that's something that's begun to develop and is making a difference in our town. You know, Pastor Colin was talking this morning about being a church that goes. You know, it's not about saying come to our church in this particular case. We're going on the streets, and we'll be out tonight. We go out, meet at 9:30, we're out by 10, and we finish by 2:30 and wind up by 3. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, you know, last week was our first week, and I was saying to a couple of people earlier, it's amazing the opportunities to talk to people about God. We're there to help the vulnerable, we're there to help to get people home, people out of the road. We're there to be a presence that stops fights developing and stuff. We don't actually get involved in the fights, don't panic. But we're doing this with... Yeah, it would be a bit dodgy, wouldn't it? It's very funny, actually, because when Pastor Colin was here last time, I don't know even if he remembers, but at one point you were talking about gangs on the streets, and you said, what you need to do is get a gang out on the streets. Well, we've now got a gang out on the streets. Hallelujah. And even better, it's paid for by the council. And we have in the vision, which is a document signed by us as the church, signed by North Yorkshire Police, signed by Scarborough Borough Council, it says that the aim of the Street Angels is to take the practical love of Jesus Christ onto the streets. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. We got that compromise because we wanted to be street pastors and they wanted us to be street angels, so they were being nice. Hallelujah. Yeah, and they pay for it all as well. So we're meeting all these different people, having conversations, dressed in everything paid for by the council, watched by CCTV cameras in case there is any trouble, with radios to contact them if we need help. So what better can you get than that? Isn't God good at just opening up opportunities? Anyway, now that you're all kind of ready, We'll run. This church news is actually for tomorrow morning, so some of it won't apply to you guys. And it does actually finish with, and now here's Pastor Colin with this morning's word. So don't get confused.
It's not tomorrow,
it's not tomorrow yet, no. Here's church news.
Thinking big because God is big. Joining in with what he's doing. Welcome to church news.
Bang. Pete and Sally, Sarah and Colin came up for an amazing worship weekend.
The Street Angels launch, fulfilling the vision of taking the church out onto the streets.
Pastor Colin's up this month and I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing month. We're just going to be moving forward into God's best and his plans. So let's make Scarborough a better place by being here.
Welcome to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire and welcome to Church News.
It's nearly time for the first Strong Tower Conference of 2009.
These weekends are fantastic times of encountering God. Lives get changed.
Clive and Jane Urquhart are guest speakers from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham, where they're the senior pastors, and they're just great guys. So expect the weekend to be challenging, powerful and prophetic. I gotta get
through this. Starting on the Friday evening at Lamp Blue House on the 13th of March, through the Saturday onto the Sunday morning here in the library.
For the ultimate experience, residential at Lamp Blue House or non-residential, don't forget to get booking in. You can do it online or through the bulletin.
It's going to be fun.
Strong Tower 2009.
If you're wanting people to pray for your situation quickly, then let Martin know. Text to 078 101 86215 and that message will go round the text prayer line. Also, if you want to be part of the people that get texted with the prayers to pray for people, then let Martin know so that your number can be included.
Now, do you want to get deeper into the Word of God, study your Bible a bit further? Did you know there's a teaching day on the first Saturday of every month up at Lamplugh House based on the Way of the Spirit course? Or there's also various other groups going on at different times, different nights, during the day, during the week, where you can get together with a group and really get into the Bible. If you want to know more, check out details with Eileen.
Stocks are running low, so we're going to order some more Care for Yorkshire t-shirts. If you would like one, give an order to Kate or Joanne. They're only £10.
That's it for this week's Church News. Thanks for watching. Check out any more information from your In Touch or by logging on to www.kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.
And now, here's Pastor Colin for this week's message.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Amen. Now, it's interesting, you know, what Pastor Colin has been talking about and what the Lord just gave me for what we're moving on to. The whole thing with moving the church forward is having everything based on the Word of God. You know, that time when Pastor Colin called us into his office. And actually, it was a bit of... It's funny, isn't it? That God is preparing you for change. And when it comes, it's a bit of a shock. So when he said to us, we wondered if you would pray about going up to Scarborough, up to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. He was very, very generous, by the way, because he put it to... You put it to us almost as if it was a whim. just something in passing, because he knew... I guess he knows our heart. If he'd said to me, we think we'd like you to go to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, we'd have said, yes, okay, because we'd have just done it, because that's what the leadership wanted us to do. But he was very generous. He gave it in a very, very laid back, because he wanted us to have the revelation that it was God that was calling us here. And, you know, God had been preparing us. He'd said things to us about being, you know, I don't have prophetic words. One week I had the same prophetic word three times from different people in Kingdom Faith, sometime before this happened, about how God was going to take me out of my comfort zone and was going to take me from what I was doing now into something different. You know, and you were looking around thinking, well, how's that going to happen? I don't really understand that. Again, it's a very similar word kept coming about. Moving into a wide open space, you know, something different to what I was doing then. And one from a very dear friend, which was a really encouraging word when she started it. She said, God says you're like a stubby bush. Oh, it's a good one, that one. Stubby, but I've never let her forget it, bless her. But it did go on to be very encouraging. And it said that at this time here at Kingdom Faith, what God has done is prune back the fruit of what you've been doing here. Because you're going to be growing into something completely new with stronger branches that will bear greater fruit. So actually, it was, you know, a really good word, but the stubby bush bit was amusing. but then when we met Pastor Colin, it was like, oh, that's a surprise. And then you start to think, oh no, that fits and that fits. And we had a few days. Somebody had given us the use of a flat in Spain, so we went out to Spain to spend some time here in the Lord. It was a really good way to do it. We used to spend the mornings seeking the Lord and the afternoons on the beach. It was very nice. We went south to contemplate going north, but we also came up here and we just visited the place. And the thing that really grabbed us was as we stood in Scarborough. It's quite funny. We went down to Valley Bridge, if you know it, where there's the bridge across, and you can see the beaches. And the rain was horizontal. The wind was incredible. And we put sunglasses on so we could see, because this cold rain was just driving. Everything in the natural was, you know, the place looked grey, cold, unloved. And yet, there was something there that just, yeah, this place is growing. And God wants to move here. God wants us to move here. Hallelujah. And so in Spain, God gave us some key words, some of which were the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run into it and they are safe. And we began to see, and it all fitted with the sort of the picture we'd seen of standing in Scarborough, looking across it with the castle on the on the thing, which is why you see it in a lot of our logos. It's a church that is a strong tower for people to come. It's a place of safety, a place where you're free from being destroyed or free from destruction. And yet, it's a tower on a hill that people can see and be drawn to. And it's a tower not just to sort of hide in, but from where you can be sent out from. And so you began to sort of get this vision together. Another one was the one, it's on this one around here, I think, and it was heard that that Jesus was in the house, was another one. God was going to say, I'm going to make the house of God, not just Lamplugh House, but the body of Christ, it will be heard that Jesus is amongst you. And so we came up, and it began, and we knew that there had to be a kind of a reforming, a retraining, and a re-equipping. In fact, looking at what Pastor Colin was saying this morning, there was a shift in the whole mindset taking place. And as we did that, people began to come. The church began to grow. You know, I want a big church. Why? Because the Lord wants a big church. It's more people saved. It's more people being discipled. It's changing the nation. You know, if I want his heart, he desires men to be saved. Amen. He desires to build his church. We focus on the kingdom. He will build his church. Amen. So, the vision was to develop not just a church in Scarborough, but a regional work, a place that's resourcing the church and working with the church across the nation. And God is beginning again to sort of bring a lot of life into this place. In fact, if you want to book a weekend between now and about 15 weeks away, I'm sorry, you can't. It's booked. Hallelujah, but for group things. And then there's retreats and people coming here for days and spending time here. And some of them, you know, they come, they've seen it as a retreat centre and they've come from a distinctly different background and they come here and their minds are just, oh, because they join in with some of the midweek prayer meetings and things that are happening and God just is equipping his church. But, so the thing is, it's about... What I wanted to sort of bring, or what I felt God was saying to bring, was about this reforming, this retraining, this re-equipping, taking a church forward. Because everybody in this room is in church leadership. Some of you are the main church leaders, and some of you are the assistant group. And what we do as leaders is take the church forward. Yeah? But you see, generally speaking, people don't think like this. They're not actually that interested in going forward. The normal state for most people is to be comfortable. Yeah? The leader, what they want is to sit on a lovely big Sophie comfer. No. That would be a comfy sofa. I don't know who Sophie is, but keep away. They want to sit on a big comfy sofa with their cup of tea and relax, you know, and get the little bit of fellowship and get the bit of prayer and, oh, I'll get some good teaching, you know. Let's have a good teacher up. Let's have a good word. But go out, do reform, retrain, going forward, taking the ground. No, let's stick to the sofa. But do you know what the leader's job? The leader's job is? It's to burn the sofa. And if they're still sitting on it, they'll have to get up. In fact, if you ever bring a word to the church of God, bring a word to your church, and you get complaints, you know you're doing the right thing, because their sofa's on fire. You know, the only other reason you might get complaints is you're just being, you know, right awkward so and so. But that's a completely different matter. We're not going there. But normally, if you're preaching the word of God and you get complaints, it's a good sign. People are being stirred off their sofas. The cup of tea's got spilt. Because when you bring the word of God, it's got to be fruit. Yeah, it doesn't return to him empty. But it's bringing this word of God, not an interpretation of it based on the experience that we're living. Because a lot of what we do is based on previous experience. And what we've got to get into is this word and giving this word to people. Word brings fruit. And you see, the thing is, imagine a tree in spring and it's a tree full of blossom. It's good, isn't it? But that blossom has got to get changed into fruit. And fruit formation is a big process. But some people like the blossom. They like the pink. You know? We don't want the blossom changed. It looks lovely. But actually, it'd be a totally against nature for the tree to remain pink all year and for the fruit not to come. And it's totally against the church to remain pink when there should be fruit. But for the fruit to come, the blossom's got to die. In fact, it's got to shrivel, go brown and get stumpled in the ground and look a bit ugly for the fruit to actually appear. Yes. And sometimes that's just what it's like in church. You have to change stuff. You know, sometimes it's as controversial as removing the pews. Hallelujah. Or the grey chairs. You know, God encounter here on a Thursday night, there's never any chairs. Bit controversial. Somebody wants to sit down while there's some around the edges. But I do say it with a bit more care. Or maybe I don't. But so if you get complaints when you're preaching the word of God, rejoice. You're burning the sofa. You're trampling on the blossom and you're expecting fruit. Because we're moving forward. Okay, but I also want to add some little practical bits of advice. How are you going to burn this sofa? Imagine it now, all those issues, and just imagine the torch is going to the sofa. How are you going to do it? Let's just go to Romans 8, could we? Everybody's sitting on the sofa. Oh, yeah. Just suddenly remembered there's one in the corner. Donna, get the torch out. Okay, Romans 8, verse 14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, you see, this is where the word of God comes in, because many people have heard this stuff, but there's got to come some revelation from speaking the word where people suddenly get from the anointed preaching they're given, I am a son of God. Yes. There's a motivation that comes from knowing that you are a son of God. You suddenly realise, wow, yeah, I can do more than play on the Xbox, watch EastEnders or come dancing. I am the Father's child. That's what's here in this passage. There's lots in here, but this is just the bits I'm highlighting. I am a brother of Christ. I am an heir of God. It's not just the Bible, nice words to make me feel better. This is something which, when it's in me, causes me to walk with my head just that little bit higher. You know, when we walk the streets of Scarborough as the street angels, we don't go like this, thinking, oh, dear, we're the church. What are we doing out here? Look at those drunk people over there. I have never heard so much bad language in my life. Especially when it was... not from the street angels, no. And not particularly at the street angels either. In fact, it was a kind of, when it was aimed at us, it was kind of an endearing. You know, that we'd talk to people and you'd sort of talk to them about that. The most common thing you get is, well, why are you doing this? And you say, well, we're the church on the streets. We're taking the practical love of Jesus. We want to help people. We want to make a difference in our town. And you get to tell them a bit about God. And at the end of the conversation, people are going, yeah, that's cool. Respect, man. When was the last time you did street evangelism and the people that you were talking to, oh, respect, this is a good thing you're doing. But if we went out apologetic, oh yeah, well, we're sorry, we're here because we're the church. Yes. We're going to make this place better. Yes. There's a respect that comes. Yes. They see authority. Yes. As we walk down the road in our blue jackets, with our silver strips on, we know we've got God's authority to be there. Yes. You know, the police are okay. There's night marshals out as well. They've got a certain authority, but we're under the King of Kings. Yes. Hallelujah. There's something that says this town belongs to us. Yes. And no longer is darkness having its way in this town. It's time for the light. Don't hide it under the bushel. But this is where, in general, this is what is inspiring the church to rise up. I am a son of God. I'm not supposed to be skulking in the shadows. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So this is the part of how you start to burn your sofa. Go to Romans 12. Is it getting hot over there, boys? on the sofa. From the beginning. They're always trouble over that side. If you ever a guest speaker here at Lamplu, even if it's your own conference, be wary of who you allow on this side. It's mostly the worship team at the moment. Like choirs they are. Therefore, see, I told you, trouble. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. Your bodies. It's time to do something, church. Let's do something. Do something amazing. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. But what I really want to get to is, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So as leaders, the Holy Spirit is going to employ us to help see people's transformed. Because then we will be able to prove what the will of God is. Then we will be demonstrating what God's will is. This is what Jesus did. It says approve here in the NIV. Many other translations it will say, then you will be able to prove what the will of God is. Jesus proved the will of God and the love of God by demonstrating, by what he taught, but certainly also by what he did in healing the sick, casting out demons and everything else he did. But to do that, you've got to have this mindset. You see that people are squashed in by newspapers, by the internet, by all kinds of media, by everything's constantly bombarding them. All right, that's one pressure. But do you know what the main thing is that stops people from launching into something bigger, to grabbing hold of what God has for them, to seeing the miraculous? Do you know what it is? Previous experience. Most people believe what they've already seen. And we've got to, as leaders, give them the word of God so that their minds are transformed and they realize it doesn't matter what they've seen before, because God is actually doing something new in their lives now. You know, it says about becoming a Christian that the old is gone, the new has come. And if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, isn't it just possible then that as a new creation, you're going to experience things that you couldn't experience before? Yes. But you see, a lot of the church gets stuck in thinking just as what they've seen before. And we've got to help them into the new mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ, just some people aren't using it. Hallelujah. I was going to say something over there then, but I won't. A mind is transformed because it's based on the word, not on previous experience. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, when you become a Christian, when you're saved, you're complete, you're put in Christ, and you have everything. You can't get more power, you can't get more love, you can't get more of anything. You have everything. But as you walk with God, no, let's put it another way, because some of you are looking very, very, very confused. When you gave your life to the Lord, were you half saved? Were you quarter saved? No, you were completely saved. You got the whole package. Saved means perfect, complete. But now you're walking out your salvation, and you will be saved. It's the same with everything in God. As God is transforming us with ever-increasing glory, we're learning to believe and act upon what we believe daily so that there is a release of God's glory, because we actually say, this is what it says in the Word. This is what I'm going to see. So we go and do it. You ask a lot of congregations, would they like to see the dead raised? And most of them say, oh, yeah. Then you say, how many dead people have you prayed for? Amen? Make the most of every opportunity. So we can't go on what's happened before, what happened last time, because we're being transformed. This is a new day. This is new mercy today, new grace today, a new me today. You aren't what you were before. You're being transformed from glory to glory, increasing glory in your life. I'm going to wind up pretty quick because we're going to have a question and answer session. But I just want to give you a practical example from this week of how God did something through his word. If you go to Isaiah 51, this is from our God encounter this week. We have a meeting here every Thursday, 7:30, that's open to sort of people from all kinds of, all the churches, but it's a key time for meeting with God. And at the beginning of the meeting, God had given me this scripture, and it's God outlining his plan of salvation. But there was just one bit of it that just began to be highlighted. But it starts off, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord." Is that you?
Yes.
Are you God seekers?
Yes.
Are you righteousness thirsters? It doesn't have quite the same ring to it. "Look to the rock from which you were cut and the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who gave you birth." In other words, look to this pattern. Look to what's happened before. You're part of this. This is the rock from which you were cut. So look at Abraham. Look at what happened. Look what I did in his life. "When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many." Now, I won't read on, but it's more about how God wants to bless us and multiply us and stuff like that. And I read that verse and we sort of said, "Amen." And then we got sort of going in the worship. And suddenly it was like God was saying unto me, "But you don't believe it. You've heard about multiplication. You've heard that I want to bless you, but you don't believe it." And so we kind of came to a sort of a stop and then prayed and I said this. "Look, what God is saying is that you are one, but that as he blesses you, you become many." God is talking about expansion. God is talking about growth. Now, you can relate it to all kind of areas, and we're not going to go into that today. But just see that this isn't just another scripture to be put on the fridge. God's speaking to his church, "The one shall become many. I will bless them and they shall become many." God is talking about his church standing up and making a difference. And leaders, it's us that's got to lead the church into that. Amen. If you got a chance to walk around the grounds earlier today, you'll find sort of lumps of soil everywhere. This place is plagued with moles. But at one point, I guess there was just one mole. Well, in fact, no, there have been two moles. But they got married and they became one flesh. Hallelujah. And now, literally on these grounds, there are thousands of the pests. You know, last week, I think it was, Richard Hartnell was on the ride on tractor thingy, cutting the grass, you know, and he'd gone around and flattened all these things so that he could cut the grass. And as he's driving along, lo and behold, him are going, the moles are popping up behind him because they're multiplying like fury. But it's time for the church to multiply like fury. You see, you hear reports, don't you, in the newspaper and the press of how the church needs to sort of stop. You know, the nurse that can't pray with her patients, the doctor that can't speak to his patients, the bus driver that can't drive with this on the side of his bus. All these kind of stories. But I tell you what's happening now. It's don't let the newspaper influence you and think, "Oh, there's a squash going on." Read what's happening in the Word of God. Because I tell you, what's happening is the church is a pest in the world. Yes. And it's popping up everywhere. And the world might try and put its foot down on one over here, but over here will pop up another nurse. And over here will pop up the teacher that dares to talk to her children. And over here, boom, it's a teaching assistant. And bang, over here, it's a business that boldly declares, "Yes, we believe in Jesus Christ." Amen. And so teach your church that whatever's happening, whatever pressure is being applied, if they apply it over here, there's going to be six over here. I know we're supposed to be a blessing to the world, and you could take exception to me telling you to be pests, but you know what I mean. Hallelujah. You read in the Bible, it talks about this trouble come to this place where the apostles came in. Hallelujah. There's a sense in which we're supposed to be trouble too, because we stir everything up. We make people think. We make them realize there is another way. Amen. The only religion in the world is not climate change. There is actually another way that brings life. Yes. Hallelujah. And that won't break the economy. Hallelujah. So, the call really to our churches is not to be moles, not to be sitting around on comfy sofas, to be Christian pests.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Did you want to go straight into the question and answer, or did you want to break? Yeah? Okay. Could we bring the stools round? So, we're going to move into a question and answer. So you can really... do you want to come up as well? Might as well. I expect most of your questions will be directed at...
Jonathan, the questions that you can't answer.
We'll try it without the microphone. If we, are you okay speaking up?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.